Bibles to the book of Psalms 84. I'm going to give you a loving sermon, okay? Now that I've done got right in the middle of everybody's week. That's why I love Wednesdays. Psalms 84. Let's stand together tonight. I don't have a whole lot to give you, but I want to give you something from my heart tonight. How admirable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Psalms 84. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it as a well, that rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Heavenly Father, we pause tonight just thanking You so much for Your love. Thank You for safety this week, the fellowship that we've had. And Lord, just a reminder of Your Word tonight. Reminder of this place in which we have gathered. Lord, I pray that You will help us as Your people to be more dedicated to Your Word, to Your cause, into Your house. Lord, I pray for this service tonight. Lord, the special needs that's went up. We know that there's burdens tonight on people's hearts. And Lord, we share them with them tonight. And Lord, we pause tonight again, just lifting up these special needs. Lord, now for the next few moments as we study Your Word together, help us to understand it better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I have to make a confession to you. 26 years I have been in the ministry, I have never preached from this passage of Scripture. I have made quotes from this passage of Scripture, but actually didn't know where these verses were. I just heard some of these verses all my life. I'm glad I found them. How did I find them? Something happened the other night at the meeting that got my mind thinking about this particular passage, or passage that would have to do with this. The other night, the preacher was preaching, I thought, a very good message, and I heard a cell phone ring. Now, I'm in a preacher's meeting with preachers, and I heard a cell phone ring. And then, as he reached and fought to find his cell phone and turn it off, two or three others began to turn theirs down, and that made a noise. Bloop, 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 bloop. In the middle of a man's sermon. Are y'all ready? There is no need for your cell phone to be on while you're worshiping God. You don't need to text message anybody during the sermon. If it's that important, you're better off not to be in the service. If it's disrupting somebody. It is about brother. It's about God. And I know it happens in our church. And I don't like it. I don't say anything. But this really bothered me the other day because preachers are supposed to know better. Come on, y'all can amen that. Preachers are supposed to know better. They're supposed to be the leaders. They're supposed to be the example. And if preachers are doing stuff like that, there's a problem. Now, the house of God is still the house of God. And we need to treat the house of God like the house of God. Shouldn't put her feet on the furniture in the house of God. Shouldn't put your chewing gum under the pew. If I was to put chewing gum under the table at my house when I was a boy, of course I had a mean mama, but she would have beat me. More than once she told me, get my feet off her couch. This is not a place to sleep and lounge. It's a place to worship. I'm afraid we forgot what this is all about. We've got a sign, no food in the sanctuary. I believe that's cool. But I believe that I'm going to put on the bulletin, and I may start making announcements for a while. Turn your cell phone, just as a reminder. I know that sometimes we forget. Turn the cell phones off for 45 minutes. We're going to worship God. And there's not a call that you'll get in the next 45 minutes. I promise you that it's more important than God. Y'all agree or disagree? That's how this sermon came about. I'm not going to say anything else about cell phones, okay? Or the church covenant. I want you to see tonight what these men thought about worshiping God in the house of God. By the way, I know when I read this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that this is talking about the temple and the tabernacle. I know that. And you say, well, preacher, we don't worship the way they do in the Old Testament. No, we should do better. We should be better. Preacher, the Bible tells me in Corinthians that my body is the temple and God lives here. But the Bible also tells you in the book of Luke that where two or three are gathered, He'll be in the midst. It's important when we come together to worship God that we come together in the same mind and attitude as those people that went to temple. Don't you all agree with that? Let me show you about three things tonight that I think are really important. Number one is the word that I have trouble pronouncing. Amiable. How'd I do, teachers? Am I close? Amiable? Huh? Amiable. How many am I close? How many use that word a lot in your language? There's one right there. I have never used that word. So to be honest with you, I have to go look a word like that up. I have to look it up. That word means three things. It means, first of all, beautiful or pretty. Second of all, it means fellowship. Third of all, it means welcome. Now, you got that word in your mind. Let's read this verse. How amiable are thy tabernacles. How beautiful is the house of God. I can say amen to that. I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the thing that I experience here. How fellowshipy is this? How welcoming is this? If we are a church that's not welcoming people, if we're a church that's not friendly, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. This should be the friendliest place in all the world. The friendliest place. If you came here and you got snobbed, then there's something wrong with us. Because I can promise you, God has never snobbed anybody. That's not His way. And the writer's Korah, everybody remember who Korah was? Remember Korah? What happened to the people of Korah? Surely you remember that, don't you? The earth opened up and swallowed them, didn't it, Doug? Swallowed them whole. But you know that God still gave them a job to do? Their job was the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper. I want you to see how they feel about that in just a second. But I want you to know tonight that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that we ought to be friendly. Now let me show you something else from 84 that I think is really important. I about tripped over this cord. Give me a second. I'm a little bit wild tonight, so just give me a chance. I think I'd have probably had ADD when I was a kid. Verse number 1 says, O Lord of hosts. You know God has a lot of titles in the Bible? When you read this, and I'll give you something to think about as you study. When you read the Lord of hosts, that's talking about the God of war. What is God at war at with today? Come on, class. What's God at war at with today? Sin. S-I-N. When you come into this house and you are a sinner, God's going to be at war with you. You be friendly, but God's at war because God fought with sin. Thank you, Doug. Y'all agree with Doug or disagree? Does God hate sin? You ought to encourage me to preach against sin. You should. You should say, preacher, pour it on it. Get on it. Let them have it. If I'm a sinner, let me have it, preacher. But while I'm doing that, while I'm preaching on sin, you be friendly to the people that's visiting. That's what I read here. You be friendly. Isn't it amazing that church is the place that you can come and the preacher can preach about the thing that you're guilty of and you walk out of here and say, good job, preacher. I enjoyed that. But the Bible says the truth is what will make us free. The truth is what makes us free. You need to encourage me to make sure I preach the truth. But while I'm preaching the truth, you all remain friendly. This should be a friendly place. I think the house of God is a friendly place. When I read history about the tabernacle and the temple, they came together for those feast days. One of those particular feasts they'd come together for. With the men, it's almost like a men's retreat. They'd gather together, they would camp out, they would cook. They had fellowship, getting ready for that feast day. The place of the temple is a place you came. You see family you hadn't seen in a while. It's a place of fellowship and friendliness, but it's also a place of reminding you that you're a sinner. Because while you was there, you was going to ask for sacrifice for your sins. There's not a person that walks in this building tonight, as well as with your preacher, that wasn't a sinner. We all are sinners. And I want you to know that God hates our sin, but He loves us. The second thing I want you to see in verse number 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Second thing I saw was the desire to be here. How many of you just really look forward to church? I do. We left early so we could be here. I could have called somebody. I could have had somebody fill in. I could have stayed and finished the conference. I could have stayed and enjoyed a little bit longer. But I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I love being with you. This is where God has brought me to. If you don't desire, if you don't want to go to church, there is something wrong in your life. That's just pretty blunt, but that's true. This ought to be something. These people said, I long. I want to be there. They said, well, preacher, we do all we do is church. That's what Aaron tells me sometimes. That all we do is go to church. It probably feels like that to him. He lives beside it. Over here seemed like all the time. Now you're talking about starting another Bible study. I can't get enough church. And the best I can tell, it doesn't change my salary how many times I preach, teach, or do anything. I desire to do this. I long to be here. And I want you to be here. But you know what I want? I want you to want it. I want you to be like these people, to desire. You know what I desire? I desire fellowship with God's people. I do. I enjoy God's people. I enjoy laughing and joking. I enjoy talking the Scriptures with you. I enjoy the fellowship. But let me tell y'all something. I love fellowshipping with Brother Mark Scott. But let me tell you what I like even more than that, brother. Look at the end of verse number 2. My flesh crieth out for the living God. There's something special about here. There's something special about invitation time. There's something special when somebody gives their life to Christ. There's something special when a young man says, I'm ready to surrender my life now and follow the Lord in baptism. There's something special to me about that. Because the Lord is pleased with that. And I want you to know tonight that I love being where God is. I know He's with me everywhere I go. But I tell you what, there's nothing like the feeling. I've been out by myself and people tell me, oh preacher, I love being out in nature. I can get closer to God. Listen, I love nature. I used to be, back when I was a lot hyper than I am now, I used to, right after church was over, Rochelle can tell you this, I had a black and tan coonhound named Slim. Y'all don't see me, a prestigious man like me, coon hunting, do you? But I would load Slim up in the back of a truck, and I would head off after church and drop that tailgate. Oh, man, that dude would hit that bar. Oh. Oh. And I'd take off walking, and he would go farther, and I'd walk farther. And there'd been a lot of nights, Rochelle can tell you this. The sun came up, and I was still shaking Slim. Slim had problems sometimes with deer. Couldn't tell the difference in a deer and a raccoon. I know they're close. Deer won't climb. But they will run. But I would leave church so fired up because I'd feel the presence of God. And I could be out there and old Slim hit the tree every once in a while and he'd tree and I'd shine the light and it'd be two or three. One night I'd shine the light. How many of you have ever seen an albino raccoon? I have. I brought it home with me. For all of you that love animals, close your ears just a second. He wasn't alive when I brought him home. But I want you to know this. I never felt as near to God out there with that dog, hearing that creek running. Walking by myself, looking up in the sky and seeing the Big Dipper. I never felt as close to God there as I do right here. There's something about worshiping God in His house. And if you don't long for that, and you don't desire that, then I'm praying for you tonight. If church is a chore to you, if church is something you have to fight to go to, then I'm praying for you tonight. I want you to look forward to it. I want you to know what day it is. You don't have to, oh, is it Wednesday? I want you to say, oh, it's Wednesday. Preacher, you're crazy. I'm serious. I hope that some of you feel like I do about this. How you long to come and to be with God's people. But most importantly, with God. Matthew 18:20. Go there with me very quickly. Then I'm going to come back to Psalms and I'm going to quit before I get stirred up. Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. I think that's a promise. When I gather with those mission words, whether it's under a tree down in Belize, or if it was in a storefront building out in Colorado, I knew that God was there. It's not about 500 or 300 or 900 or 6,000. We passed by Memphis, Bellevue Baptist Church, where Dr. Adrian Rogers pastored. Somebody told me over 12,000 people attend there. Let me tell you something. God's no more there than He is right here. He's no more there than He is right here. He said where two or three are gathered, He'll be in the midst. Let me show you the last thing in the book of Psalms 84. I'd love to take the time and just go through the whole thing with you. But let me just get you one more thing. I had trouble with verse 3. I continued to dig and I believe what I come up with was the right analysis of verse number 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And then it said this, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I don't know that this is exactly true or not, but I have to believe it is. Because I've been raised up around barns and buildings. And I know what swallows and sparrows do. They build nests up in the corners of places. And you've swept the mud off your porch where you don't have no eave there or no soffitting, and them sparrows go up there and build, and they take that mud and that mud drips down. But I want you to know, I have to believe this. In the temple of God, those sparrows had built their nests. Those swallows had built their nest. And the Bible says around the altars, more than one. You know, every step of that temple was altars. The altar of incense. The altar of showbread. It's all about you making known to God your sins. It's about you realizing your needs as you went through every step in that temple. As that priest went through every step for you. It was about you knowing that. But here's what I draw from this as I studied this week. I believe that even the smallest thing was welcomed in God's temple. The most, and I hate this word, insignificant little thing. You don't read where they run them out or threw them out or cleaned them out. They left them. And I got to thinking about that. Sometimes we as a church are sort of picky who we want to bring in. And when I got reading this Scripture, to me this Scripture is telling me, listen, there is a place for everyone in the house of God. There's some who we think may bother us. There's some who we may think may disrupt. I'm sure those sparrows, that mud falling down all the time, was a little disruptive and a little messy, Rick. But the Bible said there was a place for them. And I have to believe tonight, I talked to Kyle's, me and Kim dropped Jim off, we're coming down the road, and we're talking about Kyle's mission field, and I began to tell him about my mission field here. And I said, right here's a family that's lost. We turned the corner. I said, here's another family that I've talked to that's lost. And we passed another house. I said, here's a house where we'd love to see these people come to church and get to know the Lord. Now, I can be honest with you. Some of those houses have been known to be in the newspaper. I'm going to tell you the truth. They really have. But is there a place in the house of God for them? Does God love them? Preacher, we got to be careful. No. Because I was reminded of the verse in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't want to be a person who handpicks. I want to be a person who feels like that everybody deserves to know God. And everybody deserves to have that fellowship. and that feeling that I have when I come into this place. And it thrills my heart tonight to see those who in the past year have come to know the Lord, and here they sit throughout our building. And I see how they desire to be here. It's Wednesday night. American Idol's on. Does everybody know that? But here they are. Why? Because they desire. They know what God's did for them. This is precious to them. They have troubles. They have trials, sure. But this is where I put down on my notes. This is where I feel at home. Jim, I enjoyed it, but I didn't feel at home there. I didn't. It wasn't about Arkansas. I got to see some friends, hug some necks. But Dub, this is home to me. God may change me tomorrow, but today, this is home. I love the feeling of being home. I love the feeling. But let me ask you something tonight. Is there some people out there who don't have a place that they can say home? They are. There are people out there who can't say they don't have a home. They need a place like this, don't they? They need a place like this. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in the house. We know what the word blessed means, happy. We should never, ever, listen to me. If I preach something, I get you stirred up tonight. Sit down here with me and talk to me. But you should never leave here not blessed. Not blessed. You should feel better leaving than you came. If you leave here and you say, oh, I feel worse than when I came. Something happened. Something happened. I love to take the time tonight. Let me just read a couple more and we'll go home. 10. Verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I've heard that all my life, Rick, and I didn't know where it was. A day in God's house is better than 1,000 days, Patrick, in another place. Better than 1,000 days at Disney World. Better than 1,000 days on a cruise in the Caribbean is one day in God's house. Better than 1,000 days in Gatlinburg shopping. Wait a minute now. That's what the writer said. One day in the court of the Lord, the house of the Lord, is better than 1,000 any other place. And this is what he said. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I can tell you something tonight, honestly. The doorkeeper wasn't the most prestigious person in the temple. But he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper as to enjoy anything that's outside this place. I'd rather have a part in this than to be out there just enjoying it. And isn't that what Moses said, though? I'd rather suffer the affliction for a seat than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In the book of Hebrews. Isn't that what Moses said? I sort of misquoted it, but I'm close. We tonight need to see how special this place is. This is a special place. You might have got saved here. You might have gotten married here. You might have met your boyfriend or girlfriend here. Whatever's happened in your life, this is a special place for no other reason that it's the house of God. I hope you see that tonight. Let's stand tonight for prayer.